glad that you're right now making plans to come and be a part of it. It'll be life-changing for you. Today, Gordon and Joe Moore are here. They've been to visit us the past 3 years every time this time during the year, and we always love to have them. They are overseers, really, of the global overseers of the C3 movement. And so it's really a blessing for us to have them here and to be together. You know, I don't know if you know much about the mainland of Australia, but the size of Australia is basically equivalent to the size of the continental United States. And think about it. If you were a foreigner and you're going to visit the U.S., you want to get an idea of what it was like, and somebody let you off into New York City, would you have a favorable impression of what this place is like? No, not really, would you? I mean, you wouldn't really get the whole thing. What if he dropped you off in downtown Los Angeles? Huh? How about San Francisco? Pretty, but would you get an idea of what it was all about? What about, you know, a place like Boston? Yeah, I mean, you'd be messed up for life if you thought that was all there was to America, right? Right? And so, but if somebody dropped you off in Texas, what would you think? Yeah, came to heaven on earth right here. You would then get an idea what real Americans are really like, right? Yeah, fantastic. Well, Australia's the same way. If somebody dropped you off in Sydney, you would not get the right impression. Now, I'm not going to tell the Sydney guys this when they come, but you would not get the right impression of what Australia is really about. You would have to go to Queensland, to Brisbane, Australia. You'd have to meet the cowboys that are there and the guys that are, you know, real guys. And so it's with that idea, once you went to Brisbane, then you get the idea of what a real Australian is really like. So we have two real Australians with us today, Gordon and Joe Moore, dear friends of ours. Pastor Gordon, come on and give us the word today. Give him a big hand. Real Australian.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. It is good to be here. And just to make sure that you are not mistaken, this is how serious we are to be identified with Texas. We have a town in Queensland called Texas. That's right. So it's so good to be back in the Big D. I love coming here. I can wear my boots when I come to the Big D. I love coming here. But you know, Pastor Joe and Nancy are very good friends. And we met quite a few years ago doing the journey. And it's just been a privilege to be able to get to know them really well. And you too as a church, you're a fantastic church. I mean, I came in this meeting before and I was just looking at the building. I'm just looking around. This is awesome. Because you know, I can tell what you think about church by looking at this building. Because this building's loved on. When you love a thing, you look after it, right?
Yeah.
Is that true? Right. You give attention to it. And I can see that this church loves the house of God because of what you do physically to the building. I've visited churches and the carpet's all torn and nothing's working and they go, oh, praise God, it's good enough. No. Only the best for the Lord. Amen. I believe that's the attitude we've got to have. And I know your pastors have that spirit. It's a C3 thing. I don't know what it is. We haven't even got it written on the wall anywhere. But we just love the house of God. And it's just so good to be here. A year ago, I was here just before I went home. And we handed our church over. We're retired, evidently. And my son rang me the other day. He was watching me, what we were doing. He said, I thought you're supposed to be retired, Dad. Ha, ha, ha. I says, don't make any mistake. I'm just getting refired. You never stop. There's no unemployment in the kingdom. We just do different things. We just do things different way. And so this trip, my wife and I, my visa, they wouldn't let me stay as long. Can you imagine? I had to cut my trip short. And so I said to my PA, well, how long can I stay in one trip on this visa? She said, 89 days. I said, well, you fly me out at midnight on the 89th day. That's true, but I've worked out how to stay here longer. Next time I come, I'm fixing to stay longer. It's awesome. And so what we've done is we've traveled literally from Vancouver across to New York, and we've come all the way down south to see y'all. Does that work? Because I figure I've got to keep the best to last. Amen. That's good. So we're going to do about three things this morning. I want to pray for some people. We're going to preach a little bit, and then we'll pray for some people. I wanted to talk about this morning about culture. And, you know, it's a big subject. Culture isn't what is written on the wall. It's what's in our hearts. Because when it's in your heart, it comes out. And I want to talk about a particular aspect of C3 culture. Because people say, what is it like to be in C3? Well, you know, it's a bit like the Scottish preacher. He said, it's better felt than tilt. And church is something that you experience. It's not that we do this because it's the right thing to do. We say we go to church, but actually we are the church. Church is an experience of relationship with God and with each other. So I want to talk about this morning the community of the church and talk about three things that are quite important. We'll just unpack this, which is really great. Before I do that, I need to pray. Because I find when I begin to worship God, God speaks to me. When I focus on the meeting, God begins to speak to me. I like to pray for certain things. It's just the way is that okay if we do this? Okay, so I want to pray very specifically for some things here this morning. I want to pray for a person, and I've got a feeling you might have even had an operation, but it's in your ribs. And you've had an operation, and you've still got post-op pain and some things happening there. And that's what I feel. It's like that's specific. It's in your ribs, okay? I want to pray for that person. There may be several. That's what I feel this morning, to pray for that. Also, I want to pray for people that have around the base of your neck, you have got lumps, or you've had lumps, or you might have even had operation. It could be a number of things. I'm not a medical person, but I'm just saying that's what I feel to pray for this morning. It could be thyroid, it could be glandular, it could be lumps. I don't know, but you've got lumps there, and it's specific. It's around your neck, okay? The other kind of person I want to pray for, I want to pray for people that are having trouble with three things: your stomach, your lungs, and your liver. Isn't that amazing? I want to pray for people this morning, and you've got specific conditions in those things, and pray for you. The other thing I want to pray for, I prayed in the first service, I'm just finding everywhere I go, it's something I just feel to pray for all the time, and it's amazing how people respond to it. I want to pray for people that have deficiencies in their system, in their blood, in their hormones, in their chemical makeup. So it's not seen, but it's real. You may be even being treated by a physician. You might be taking drugs, or you may be taking medication or other things to help with this. In particular, there may be women here who have difficulty in keeping your iron levels up, and if you don't do anything, they just drop. There's some people here that have vitamin D deficiency, and it affects your whole thinking. Sometimes you get fuzzy-headed because of these deficiencies. I also want to pray for some men. I believe there are men here today that have deficiencies as well, because men do have hormones. Did you know that? Men don't like to admit that, so they cry in private. But I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call you out or name it, but I know these people are here, and I want to pray for you. I won't be saying what you've got. This is between you and God. But I believe the word of knowledge moves to create faith. So the moment I say that, and you've got that condition, like in a meeting last week, I called out vitamin D deficiency. And a woman that was there for the first time in church leant over to a friend and said, "You've been talking to him?" Because that's exactly, but what happened was, faith went like that inside her. I could get healed. And she doesn't know everything about it. She just, gee, if God told him about me, then, I could get a miracle. Isn't that incredible? Hands up if you've got one of those conditions. Just raise your hand. Look at that, all over the place. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to invite you to come, and I'm going to pray with you. When you come, just slip out of your seat and come. any one of those conditions or anything else, even if you've got pain, if you say, well, I haven't got that, but as I spoke it, faith went into your heart. See, healing happens through faith. Isn't that incredible? Come in closer to me. Come. How are you today? God's going to touch you. I can feel it. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I can tell God's going to touch you. Just step in there. That's really good. Look at all these people coming. Man, I can feel some miracles here this morning. Now, listen to me very careful, because what I'm going to say will help you, because some of you have struggled with this for quite a while. Let me help you get your thinking around the right way. Okay, listen to me. Because what I'm going to say, you're going to disagree with me when I say it, probably. But you listen to me. You don't get healed in your body. You get healed in your faith, and you give it to your body. See, here's the secret. Because so often we're looking to our body for the healing, and if it doesn't happen, we go, I don't have faith. No, you've got faith. We've just got to get faith in the right way. Right? The little woman that pressed through to Jesus, she got healed in her faith a long time before she actually got healed and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Theologians tell us, these people that look into all of this, because it's not specifically stated, they just say this: there was a gap, there was definitely a time gap between when she said in her heart, when I touch him, I'll be healed, and when she actually touched him and got healed. Some say it could have been weeks, some say it could have been months. Some people say it might have even been a year or so. She probably heard of Jesus quite early in his ministry, but never got the opportunity to reach out and touch him, right? But in her heart, she was healed. In her faith, she was already healed. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to transact faith. We're going to believe God in our faith. And after I touch you and lay hands on your head, I'm just going to come and just touch you gently. You make that your point of contact, like the little woman that touched the hem of Jesus. You say, when he touches me, that's when my faith is ignited. That's when my miracle, I'm going to own my miracle. Now then, don't go to your body and go, did it work? See, it's not magic. You see this? It's faith. When you've got it in your faith, you don't even need to check out your body, because you're saying, thank you, God. I know I've got something from God this morning. Some of you will be healed instantly. Some will be healed tonight as you sleep. Some will be healed tomorrow when you're driving in the car and you might have a sore shoulder. You go, that's gone. God will heal you. See, the timing and the miracle's up to God. But what God wants to see in us is faith. Have you got this morning? It's going to help you. I want you to close your eyes and put your hands out like this. And I'm going to come and just touch you. And when I touch you, receive your miracle. Just say, God, that's my point of contact for my miracle. I'm going to get healed in my faith in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. It's over. It's over, my friend. Healing. There it is. Look at that. I can feel the power of God. Whoa. There it is. Come on, take your miracle. Take your miracle. There it is, sir. There you go. Take it. There you go, Melina. Take it. There you go. It's yours. Finished. It is finished, Jesus said. Take your healing. It's over. It finishes today. In the name of Jesus. Touch her. By faith, in the name of Jesus, a miracle, it's happening. Look at that, they're coming Wow, miracles. Whew. Point of contact, miracles. Miracles. I'm going to balance it. It's going to be all balanced. There you go. Peace. Peace of God coming upon you. Touch. Touch you. Touch you. Touch you. Touch him in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to give God thanks. Say, thank you, God, for healing me. I'm taking my miracle. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There you go. You don't have to worry anymore, honey. Huh? It's all okay. All right? Look at me. So it's going to be okay. All right? Good? Huh? Come on. God's good. Amen. Say thank you, God. You may be seated. Lord bless you. God is good. Come on, let's give God thanks, shall we? He's so good. Some people say to me, recently someone said, Gordon, when you pray for the sick, you're so quiet. I'm doing it on purpose. Because I think we can mistake power for noise. This is not about noise. You can be noisy if you want. But it's not about the noise. It's not about how. It's about faith. Faith is real. It's not mercury. It's not weird. Faith is real. Faith requires two things. That's all God asks. He asks us to decide and he asks us to confess. That's how faith works. And we complicate it. We get it all complicated. But faith has those two components. We got saved like that. Lord Jesus, forgive me. We have to confess it. See, we decide, I want to become a Christian. We confess it. That's how faith works. But we get on the Christian road a little bit and then we change the rules. Oh, well, I've got to do this and I've got to fast and then I've got to read more Bible. And I've got to do this. And I've got to... No. Faith is so simple. Faith, God wants you and me to decide. Then we confess it. That's how faith works. You don't have to work up a lather. You don't have to yell and scream. You can just decide in your heart and go, God, provide that finance for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I confess it. It's mine. Heal me. Touch me. Show me. Lead me today. It's that simple, walking with God. Isn't it awesome? That's the way I see it anyway. I think we just get too complicated. I just love it. And you know, we just touch people. I could see people grabbing their miracle. Wow, how exciting, eh? You know several things about culture in C3. People say, what is C3 all about? Well, it's very hard to define because culture is not just the five things you decide, you know? People come to our church. We've been pastoring our church for 30 years. We planted it just with our family. And today there's over 2,000 members, average age of 23. Now, I have people come to our church and say, wow, look at all the young people. How do you get all the young people? And they go, I know, we need to turn the volume up in the music. Young people aren't impressed with that. Or people say, well, what I need to do is get jeans that are torn and not wear any socks. People say, that'll bring the youth. No. I'm an old dude. Do you know what young people need today? Incarnation. That's what people are looking for today. It's a Bible word. It's a Bible concept, rather. What's incarnation? What's this dude from Australia talking about? For God so loved the world that he sent a Bible. Is that what it says? No. For God so loved the world, he sent a track. No. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. See, God always wraps his ideas in something physical. Isn't that amazing? Everything. Creation, you can look at creation and see God. You know how people say, I can't see God? Open your eyes. God's everywhere. I can see God in that Christmas tree. I can see God in you. I can see God in this building. Some friends took me up into the Rockies. We did a 27-kilometer hike into the mountains. And I remember sitting at night, there's no lights there, watching the stars. And you sit there and go, gee, that just happened. You have to have more faith to be an atheist than a Christian. Amen. Like, that just happened? And just to see them moving, and you just get caught. See, God incarnates everything. So when God wanted to bring heaven to us, he didn't just go, woo, here's heaven, and he gave us a movie. He wrapped it all up in Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that amazing? Now he wraps Jesus in the church. And Jesus says, live as I lived. Now, some people make that weird and have, you know, WWJD. I used to think that was where in the world is John Denver. But I found out it didn't mean that. What would Jesus do? Well, I don't know. He's not here. But all I know is I'm here and he wants me to live out my life, to incarnate Jesus. You understand? You're hearing me here. So the gospel isn't what we just say, it's what we do. And God wraps the idea of the church usually in a person, and in C3 specifically, usually in a couple. Our church was birthed not because I just had a great idea, but my wife and I together saw this church. Isn't that amazing? But we saw different things. Isn't this amazing? Before I proposed to her, she saw herself sitting in the front row of a church and I was preaching. Isn't that amazing? So when I asked her to marry her, she said yes, because God had already spoken to her. And it wasn't till 40 years later or 30-something years later, she was sitting in the front row of our brand new building. And God showed her that vision again. It was our building. The vision she had, she saw. See, what I'm saying is the church isn't just a nebulous idea. God incarnates it. And so the church that exists there today exists because God planted that church in the heart of my wife and me, together as a couple. The same thing has happened here with Pastor Joe and Nancy. God incarnates, he places the idea in a person, and then they begin to live it out. Isn't that amazing? I find that incredible. But it says, of course, that God will make a helper meet for you in Genesis. That means suitable, different. Some translations say complementary or opposite. You will get no one more opposite than me and my wife. You'll get no one more opposite than Pastor Joe and Pastor Nancy. That's the way God does it. But we live in a world, oh, we're all the same. How boring. How boring. Do you think God is so boring that we're all equal and we're all the same? La, 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 la. That's not my God. Every fingerprint's different. Every star's different. Every animal's different. He just creates and creates and creates. And here's the miracle of couples. God brings people together who are opposite. I mean, male and female, how different are they? I mean, women have spaghetti brains. Sorry, it's actually a compliment. Whereas men have box brains. So women's brains are like this. They're always working. And every spaghetti piece is connected to all the other spaghetti pieces. Isn't that amazing? So women are always thinking. Always. I reckon they're thinking at night. Whereas men aren't like that. Men have boxes. They have marriage box, family box, work box, play box. And then they've got another box that women hate. It's called a nothing box. So my wife says to me, we've been married 45 years next year. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
She always says to me, don't give her the credit, I know. She always says to me, what are you doing? I say, nothing. Or she'll say, what are you thinking about? Because I'm looking like this. I'll go, huh? Nothing. That annoys her. I said, what do you mean, nothing? You can't think about nothing. Oh, I can think about nothing. I can sit for hours and just think about nothing. See, because God has created male and female opposite. Why? Because when you have them together, you get the complete picture. Isn't that incredible? So this is what we believe in C3. God models that through a couple of senior leaders. But it doesn't mean everyone has to be married. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that that is a model of male and female together. So in the church, God wants male and female together. Isn't that incredible? I've visited churches. I've spoken at conferences all over the world. I've gone there. There's no ladies there. I said to one pastor of a leading denomination, I said, where are all the wives and all the women? He said, why? Why do they need to be here? I said, you've got a problem right there. Because they need to be here, right? But here's another problem we have in the body of Christ. Now, I think C3, we've nailed it a bit. See, the church isn't this little restrictive, narrow thing. Women do this, and they're not allowed to do this, and men do this. And No. God, creation's not like this. The church is to be a wide, broad community of faith. Room for everybody. And here's the great thing about church. As the church grows, there's room for everyone to come in and be involved. Isn't that amazing? God just keeps the thing going. So, we've got enough deacons. We only have 12 elders and 7 deacons in this 12th church. No. Why not? You can have 100 elders, 200 deacons. You might not call them that. But you see, God wants the church to grow and expand. But in the couple, like your pastors, they are modeling that as a couple as they work together. But you won't get Nancy and Joe doing the same things, right? Got different gifts. Like my wife, she's brilliant at organization. I call her my list baby. She's got lists for everything. She even makes lists for me. I call those honey-do lists. So on my day off, I think I want to just sit on the balcony and do nothing. She goes, honey, I just SMS'd you a list of things. Thanks. So I get a list. She does lists and lists. I don't do lists. I do priorities. That's how I'm wired. But together, as I cast vision and focus on priorities, she's behind with all the lists. So you're complementing, right? You don't have to both be in Sunday school or both be preachers or both be this. We've got different gifts. And in the couple that God speaks to in the church, he brings those together. Isn't that an incredible idea? And you've got a great couple as your senior pastors. And what I love about C3, we let everybody be themselves. Everybody. We're not here to say you've got to be like this and a senior minister's wife does this and a pastor does this. No. You be who God's called you to be and we'll be happy. I can't be you. I can only be me. And you can't be me. You can only be you. So you might as well settle it and be the best you can be. Just go for broke. Just go out there and go for broke. Be the best person you can be. Right? Don't narrow the will of God to a pulpit or a microphone. The will of God's far bigger than that. Right? It's like me. I've given up my church and handed over to a son in the faith. What, now I do nothing? No, there's always stuff to do. There's always people to encourage and young people to build up and older people to spur them on to live a greater life. Amen. Don't have to be a senior minister. Well, I've got a badge. Now I've got a badge, I can bless people. No, we've got to get rid of all that thinking and think bigger and broader. And that's what I respect about Pastor Joe and Nancy. They're just being themselves. And I think that's a great model, because you can take heart and go, well, I can be me too. And be the best you can be at what you do. Don't let anyone rob that from you. You just be the best you. And I think that is one of the cultural things that we do as a movement. We do life together as couples, but we do life in the church with male and female. It's not an old man's club or a male chauvinist outfit. We're together in the grace of God, and it's modeled in the senior couple. Isn't that awesome? I love that idea. The second thing I want to say this is church is community. In C3, church is not the organization. It's not, but we get organized, yes, but it's not that. Church is actually a community of faith. It's where we participate together. Your pastor has been mentioning it today. And some of us are time poor because we run businesses and we can't be physically in the church all the time. Others are time rich but asset poor. You might be young, you might be a student, and you know, but you've got more time. Well, but together, those that have more time can do more in the ministry of the church, but those that don't have much time, well, they can finance it. A business guy said to me a few years ago, he said, so Pastor, he said, what do I do? He said, I can't sing. I'm a hopeless preacher. He said, what do I do? I'm working 70 hours a week. I can't go on roster. I mean, what do I do? I said, simple. I said, we've got complimentary gifts. He goes, really? I said, yes. I said, you know what your gift is? He says, what's that? I said, giving. Oh, I guess it is. Yeah. So you need to give more. He said, okay, right, I got you. He goes, what's your gift? Spending. He said, get out of here. But it's true, isn't it? We've got to learn where we fit in the community, because church isn't just the organization. It's just not the service. It's 24/7. I love how they put it in Acts 2. They met in the temple. They met house to house. They ate food. They prayed. They followed out the doctrine of the apostles. And they actually had a great time. And the last thing that's really skipped that says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. That's been my verse for 30 years. Well, actually more, because my pastors gave it to me in New Zealand. I just grew up with it. And I've had a desire to see people come to Jesus every day. And we've been seeing that now for quite a few years in our church. Last year, we saw over 650 people come to Jesus, say yes to Jesus. You see, because we've got to know what God's called us to do. But if we begin to fellowship, walk in the doctrine and the teaching, we can live in community and participate. Have a guess what's going to happen? We're going to be attractive. People are going to be attracted to the gospel. Isn't that incredible? If I asked you today, what was the most important thing that gets God really excited? Have you ever thought about that? I often thought about that. What would get God excited? I mean, Joe's worked me out. Food. If she wants to get me out of my nothing box and start hovering around the kitchen, she'll cook something special, man. And you're in your nothing box and the smell comes into it and invades nothing. And then you've got to go check out what it is because it smells so good. I mean, this week, Miss Ginger. Was she cooking so good? I'll tell you, I kept going back and back for her pumpkin pie. It was so good. I just started to get into the southern thing. You know, I was just so excited about it. But I'm going to have to pay for it. I'm going to have to get out and get on my bike again. But you know what? What excites God? I know what you're thinking. Prayer. No, I don't think God's impressed with our prayer. He likes it. Yeah. and he wants us to pray, but I don't think God gets off the throne. Wow, Gordon's praying. Well, he might do because it might be a miracle, right? So, oh, no, we're Pentecostals speaking in tongues. When I speak in tongues, God stands on the throne and goes, he's speaking. No, the Bible doesn't say that. What about giving? When I go, reach my wallet, just go for, you know, you go for your wallet, God, he's going to give. Bible never says he gets excited. It says he rewards it, he blesses it, but he never says he gets excited. Oh, I got it. I know what you're thinking. Preaching. When someone begins to preach, God gets excited. No, listen, he can anoint a donkey. I've worked that out. He anointed me. Turn with me to Luke 15. What gets God excited? Luke 15, it'll come up on the screen. Truly I say to you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who do not need repentance. You want to get God excited? Lead your friend, your neighbour, your associate to Christ. God will get up the throne and he'll do a bit of a dance. He'll begin to dance. I mean, oh God, glory to God. You want to get God excited? That excites God. I can't read anywhere else where he says he has a party. But when a sinner repents, wow. You know, in C3, this is our true north. Everything we do in the church must have souls as its objective. Everything. The worship, the songs we select, the lighting. Everything is geared for the unchurched. This is what we say. Church for the unchurched. See, I think this is the biggest problem in the Christian world today. We think church is for us. We say, my church. Well, since when was it my church? I thought it was Jesus' church. I went to one church and I got a bit excited. And after the meeting, one of the preachers said to me, man, he said, you got a bit excited. He said, just to let you know, we don't do that in our church. I said, that's funny. I said, I think we do in his church. Because you see, we think church is for us. No. Church isn't for us. Church is for Christ primarily, and his work is to seek and save those which are lost. So kids' church, what's kids' church for? Oh, hallelujah. I bring my kids to kids' church and I get a free meeting. No. Kids' church isn't for babysitting. Kids' church is to lead children to Jesus. Amen. Security. Why are people on security and deacons? Oh, that's so that I won't get lost. No. It's so visitors and new people will feel secure and get the best seats. Car parks. In our church, the prime car parks has visitors on them. That's because we want unchurch, we want the visitors to feel the best. Every visitor in our church gets a free cup of coffee. I don't, I've got to pay for my own. And I've got 14 grandkids and they queue up on a Sunday. I've got to have greenbacks in my pocket. Because my grandkids, hey, Poppy, you got a dollar? And I'm going to, oh, the dollar, you know, I'm paying all the time. So what about this church? When am I going to get a free cup of coffee? Well, this church isn't for me. The church is for the lost. I'm already in. I'm already in the church, man. I'm in. Isn't it amazing when you're in, it's too big? If I got a dollar every time, Rob, every time I heard this, if I got a dollar, I reckon I'd have quite a bit of money. Oh, this church is getting too big. Too big for who? It's usually for me, the one in it. But someone who's coming in the door, who's never found Jesus, who's never tasted the wine of heaven, who's never felt the power of God, it's never too big. Amen. They don't care whether there's 50, 500 or 5,000. They just want to experience God. And I believe we need to understand this morning that God's called us to do his work. John 6, the disciples come to him and said, what must we do to work the works of God? See, when I first started preaching, I thought, I asked that question. But I had something in my mind. I dreamt. I used to pray, God, I want to see someone get out of a wheelchair. Yeah. I used to say, God, show me how to do this. I want to go to a grave and speak and someone come out of a grave. That's what I want to do. I used to say, God, if I could, I'd like to just pray and get $1 million. I was really praying big prayers, right? And then one day I discovered this verse, John 6. This is the work of God, that you would believe in him, Christ, whom God has sent. All we do, prophecy, preaching, singing, deaconing, whatever, has one purpose, that people will come to a faith and a personal belief in Christ Jesus. That's what we're here to do. There is no other mission. Because otherwise, if there is no other mission, why are we here? So the moment someone believes, they should get raptured. Just imagine that. Man, that'd be easy pastoring. Wow, what a great way to pastor a church. People come forward, Rob comes forward. Rob. He's over there. Ben. He comes forward to receive Jesus. He says the sinner's prayer. Lord, I ask you into my heart. I promise to follow you, live for you all my life. And the moment he goes, amen, he goes. Like Star Trek. Straight into heaven. I don't have to pastor him. I don't have to visit him. I don't have to look after him. He's in heaven. So all you need is a preacher and maybe a couple of musicians. And people come forward, all gone. Because if heaven is our objective, if that's our purpose, why this? Here it is. God wants to reincarnate himself, his gospel, his love, his faith in you and me so that the world will know. Wow. But here's a problem. The E word. Evangelism. I'm not an evangelist, but I've led thousands to Jesus through the pulpit ministry. But actually, I didn't lead them. It was people that brought them, and I just preached and did the altar call. I've only led a few to Jesus in my whole life, probably a handful, personally. I'm not an evangelist. I go to a restaurant to eat my food. I've got a friend. I take him to the restaurant, I'm paying, he ends up talking with the chef and the waiters and leading people to Jesus and praying for the person next to me. I don't want to even invite them out anymore. Because that's an evangelist, you see. So what most of us think is that's evangelism. If we're not leading everyone to Jesus and praying for the sick, then so we go, oh, I'm a prayer. I don't witness, I pray. So I don't witness, I'm a muso. Well, I don't do this because, no, wait a minute, here's what they've discovered in stats. Only 10% of a given church congregation are evangelists, the other 90% are not. I'm one of the 90%. We've got two people, we've got more, we've got about 30 in our church, but we've got two in particular. The first one is a cab owner. A taxi driver. He owns a fleet of cabs. The last year, he brought about 70 people to church. Most of them received Christ. They're very annoying personalities. Because that's the gift I would like. When I pray, I go, God, give me that one. But he didn't. He gave me these gifts to lead and do other things. Another girl in our church, she's a student. She'd be about 20 years of age. Last year, she brought over 50 people to our church. They all received, oh, it's amazing. But you see, this is the downside. When people like me and you look at people like that, we go, oh, I can't do that. So we just clam up. I'm on a mission. Praise God for the evangelists, but I want to get the 90% witnessing through their life every day. How do you do it? Two ways. Let me give you two simple ways, and we're going to, because we haven't got time to go. Two simple ways. Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, acts of kindness.
Yeah.
Here's a personal revelation that I've got. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. How wrong the church has got that. We tell people how evil they are. They're going to hell. They're going to burn or turn. No. The goodness of God. So say, for instance, Ben is my colleague at work, and I turn up tomorrow morning with his favourite coffee, a double espresso with half and half. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Two slurps of pumpkin spice. And I come up to him and say, hi, how you going, Ben? I was thinking about you this morning, gave you coffee. He said, take the coffee. I've never met anybody, Christian or unchristian, when I give you a coffee, they go, no, thank you, keep your coffee. I don't drink coffee given by Christians. Who says that? No one. Because it's an act of kindness, right? He has to stay behind at work and collate some manuals for a seminar tomorrow, and he's running late, he's been doing it, and I notice him busy. I go up to him, hey, how would you like me to help you collate? I can stay half an hour and help you. Acts of kindness. Now that I can do. If you want me to go to a restaurant and lead the chef to the Lord, it's not my deal. But if you want me to go to work tomorrow and bring a cup of coffee with pumpkin spice and help him collate in the office, I can do that. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you. So what we try to do is I'm trying to work an angle to preach at him. Forget all that. Get rid of all that thinking. Think acts of kindness. How can I bless him? How can I help him? How can I make him feel good? Man, nice jacket. Love your boots, mate. Awesome, man. It's acts of kindness. A card, a letter, a little SMS, encouragement, a cup of coffee, a meal. Let me ask you a question this morning just to make sure I'm in the right place. Hands up those who know how to buy a cup of coffee. Wow, isn't that amazing? We can all do acts of kindness. But here's the trick right now. Here's what we've discovered. Most of us can do that. We just don't think we can, but you begin to do it. It now gives rise, because now Ben's going to say in his head, what's different about that guy? Why does he do that? What? He's different to all my other... What's different about that Gordon guy? And one day he's going to say to me, hey, Gordon, did I get this right that you go to that C3 thing down there? You know that right there is your moment. And this is where we've discovered Christians miss it by a mile, either because they go, or I've been waiting for this for so long, and we give them Genesis and Revelation and evolution and everything, and we just give them, and he goes, I just asked you if you went to church, because we overcook it, because we haven't got an answer. You've got to prepare an answer. This is your answer. BC, RC, LC. BC, before Christ. RC, receiving Christ, not Roman Catholic. LC, living Christ. But this is how I used to tell them. There's so many Christians, I hear them tell their story. Oh, you go to that church. So, yeah, I used to be like you. I used to get drunk every night and take drugs, and I was just living this life, and then I got saved. And then unchurched people go, well, why'd you stop living such a great life for? Because we forget the LC, living Christ. But you've got to write it out. write out a piece of paper and go, BC, what were you like before Christ? RC, how did you receive Jesus? What happened? What did it feel like? What did you do? You've got to explain it. And then LC, then focus on living Christ. What is it like now that you're a Christian? Very quickly, because I'm running out of time. Okay, so he says to me, hey, Gordon, I hear, is it right? Did I get that right? You're going to that C3 Trinity thing? Here's my BC, RC, LC abbreviated. Yeah, Ben, that's actually correct. You know what? I was just like you before I became a Christian. I didn't even think about God. But then one day I met Christ at that church and my life has changed, man. I'm loving life. Look, maybe sometime, if you'd like, how about we have a coffee or a lunch or something I'd love to share with you? Pass me the salt. See, you keep it normal.
Yeah, not weird.
Not weird. Don't go weird on people. Just keep it normal. And keep it a brief. See, that's the next thing. That's my 33-30 principle. So that was a 30-second opportunity. The next one is 3 minutes, and the next one is 30 minutes. You've got to discern the difference. We lose it when we try to do 30 minutes, and he just said, did you go to that church? And we go Genesis to Revelation. So let me finish with a story. Old Farmer Brown, he came to church on a cold Sunday night. It was pouring and sleeting. And he came into the church and the vicar came up to him and said, oh, Farmer Brown, he says, it's wrecked. No one's coming. He said, how about we go home and have a soup? My wife will cook you a soup, cup of tea, and you can go home. Farmer Brown stood back. He says, you know, Pastor, if I went out on a winter's night and only one cow turned up, I'd feed her. The vicar felt convicted. He said, you sit there, I'm going to give you the service of your life. He got up, he sang, he preached, he did the offering, he did the notices, he did the altar call, and at the end he did the benediction. And while he was praying the benediction, he walked down to the door and he yelled out, amen, waiting for Farmer Brown to come to the door. And Farmer Brown comes to the door, he says, how did you like that, Farmer Brown? Farmer Brown says, let me tell you a story. He said, if I went out on a winter's night and only one cow turned up, I wouldn't feed him the whole haystack, would I? When you witness next time, don't throw the whole haystack at someone. Amen. Discern whether it's a 30-second, 3-minute, or 30-minute opportunity. You may have dozens of second opportunities that will lead to that one big moment. And then you must do this to conclude. You must have an altar call. But don't call it that. It's the invitation. I call it the big ask. We must come to a place where we say, Ben, would you like to experience what I've experienced. I'd count it a privilege to help you. That's all you need to say. You know what? He might just say yes. That's my experience. They just might say yes. Close your eyes and bow your head. If you're in the service and you don't know the Lord, or maybe you've drifted away, and this morning you know you need to come back and say, yes, Lord, I need to accept you into my life. You may have been brought up in the church. You might even believe in God in your head, but you have never personally accepted him. Or maybe you have and you've drifted. This morning you can come back. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to confess that and say, yes, that's me. And I'm going to include you in a prayer, and there's some people that are going to help you after the service. If you want to accept the Lord for the first time, you've actually never done this before, or maybe you have and you've drifted and you want to come back, slip your hand up right where you are and say, yes, Gordon, that's me. I know I'm away from God. I know I need God and I want to come back this morning. Is there anybody in this service? I give this personal invitation to you. Is that a hand there? Thank you. Is that a lady there, young woman? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Very quickly, just say, yes, that's me. Until you confess it, it's just a good idea. But once we confess it, God will confess us. He will own us. He will give us eternal life. I'm looking one more time. Two people have raised their hand. Is there anyone else? Very quickly as I finish. Father, you see these two people that have raised their hands. You know their heart. You know their condition. You know their situation. I pray, Lord, that as they walk this journey out, as leaders in the church gather around them and help them, I pray, Lord, they will discover your life, your peace, and your joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Let's all stand together. If you're one of those who raised your hand, I'd love it if you just take just a minute and come down and see one of us as pastors. We want to just pray with you and nail down that decision, because I tell you, walking with God begins with a decision, not always a feeling, but always a decision. And so I want to just nail that down with you and say, hey, man, I'm in this thing to go for God. Is that okay? Did you enjoy this today? Glad you came. I'm glad you came too. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, bless each and every person here, Lord, with your presence and with your life. Lord, as we go out of here, let us go out of here with acts of kindness on our heart to just prepare the way for somebody to come to Christ. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give somebody a hug on the way out. Say hello to somebody. Meet somebody for coffee this week. Let's be the church.